Hello, boys and girls of Credit Union Land, and welcome to episode 73 of the CU Insight Experience. This episode is brought to you by our friends at PSCU. As the nation's premier payments CUSO, PSCU proudly supports the success of more than 1,500 credit unions. My name is Randy Smith. I am one of the co-founders of CUinsight.com, and it is my job on the show to have conversations with the best and the brightest of the credit union community. I get to pick their brains and see if we can't find a few nuggets that we can all learn from. My guest on today's show is April Klobis. April is the president and CEO of MSUFCU in the state I was born and raised in, of Michigan. This was a fun conversation. April had been on my list of guests that I wanted to get on the show for quite some time. I've heard of the amazing work her credit union has done and the culture they've, and I've kind of seen this from afar. So I was really looking forward to this conversation, and it didn't disappoint. We talked about how her and her team have been working through this interesting experience we are all sharing called COVID-19, how they are serving members and pushing through, you know, new ways to serve their members throughout this whole experience. Also, she had some great tips on keeping the culture of the credit union going when you have a lot of the team, or even a majority of the team, working remotely. So I loved something that she shared about how they're sharing the stories that fit the mission that the employees are doing, or in the feedback they're getting from members weekly to the entire organization. That was pretty cool. There was so much good in the leadership portion of the show. April came up in the credit union that she became the CEO of. So she had a lot to share that I think many, quite honestly, are going to take a lot from that are looking at their career path. So as always, we wrapped it up with having a little bit of fun with the rapid fire questions to end the show. This conversation, like I mentioned, was a ton of fun to have. I look forward to being able to move about the country again and hope my path crosses with April so we can continue this conversation. So without further ado, I give you my conversation with April Klobis. Enjoy. April, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
These are interesting times we live in. So I appreciate greatly you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I've been looking forward to this conversation. You were on my list for quite some time, actually. And then you saved me here where I needed someone for this week. So I appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
just to jump right into the questions, so much we can talk about with what's, you know, going on, I guess, out there in the world. But I grew up in Metro Detroit, lived the first 30 years of my life in Clawson and Royal Oak, Michigan. So, but I still follow the Detroit Free Press, you know, on Facebook and everything. And when you were going to be on the show, I remembered an article about you guys being named one of the best places to work. So I Googled the article in the Free Press, and I loved reading about the culture you talked about in that article and how it was important to be inclusive. And, you know, as Jill said on the podcast before, to bring your whole self to work, as a leader, during this COVID-19 experience we're all sharing, you not only have to worry about the members, but also about your employees and your team. So I was wondering, after I was reading that article, did the work you were doing from a culture standpoint pre-pandemic world, you know, has it helped you over the past, you know, few weeks as we've all been living through this time?
I would like to think so. A couple of things. So we have a really strong culture at our organization, and I believe, you know, we went remote pretty fast, like over, you know, a 2-day period. We have right now about 70% of our employees, so working remotely.
Wow.
Okay. So if you're not in a branch working and serving members through drive-ups or appointments, you're working to take calls and offset the increased volume in digital and in the calls. And so what my team has talked about a lot with me is how they're using WebEx for our meetings. And so they're continuing to do engagement with their employees. We, from a corporate global level, are continuing to use that. But the conversations that have happened are, because we have such a strong culture of commitment to the mission, commitment to the members, and we really value and emphasize the employees and their success, and have that rapport with each other, people have transitioned really well to being virtual, if that makes sense. And because you have such a great established relationship as maybe a manager with an employee or all the leadership levels, we're continuing to operate in the same fashion. And I think our employees are really responding to that because they feel taken care of because they already knew their manager cared about them. And now they're seeing all the unique new ways that we're showing we care for our employees. So one of the things that's very important in our culture that we have done almost my entire career at the credit union, even before I was in this role, is we have an all-employee meeting every Tuesday morning.
Okay.
And so it's 8:30 to 8:50 before the branches open. People attend, you know, by virtual watching it if they're in branches and other buildings. And then we have, you know, if you're in the building where it's being recorded, you can come in person. You can watch it at your desktop. And so we've still kept that tradition. Every Tuesday, I record a message to our team. We have we call it shout outs. And so we do shout outs to recognize each other. And what's happening now is instead of me, you know, talking about what's happening this week, you know, in the world of projects and new initiatives, you know, I always ended with a mission moment is what we call them. And so tell me how you're living the mission. And you know, I reference what I've heard from members or other employees throughout the week when we do these all-employee meetings. So when we did our first video recording, I did the mission moments like I always do, except I had more because we had been in a new environment and lots of members sent me messages about how great the team was. And so I'm reading them. And now every week I get, you know, like 20 to 50 emails from employees who are submitting for someone else to have a mission moment read in the video, from managers wanting to highlight their employees, and then whatever I'm still getting directly from members. So that's been kind of fun to continue and highlight everyone because it's really stressful. People are under a lot of duress in their personal life, right? They're schooling their children. There's a lot of uncertainty. We're home with our family, you know, all of those things, or people are, you know, single and isolated. And, you know, so there's all variations, but yet everyone's really come together to serve the members and live the mission. And so that's been kind of fun and how we keep doing what I think used to be done in person.
I'll tell you, that's a really cool idea though of featuring, because everybody is, like you said, 70% of the team is remote. So to still keep that connection and let everybody know what they're doing, that's fantastic. You mentioned it, right? Like we're all, I mean, that's the one thing I think from all the conversations I'm sure you're having, even whether it's with friends or family or outside of credit unions, but even with our colleagues and our peers is, I mean, we're all living through this experience. How is everyone holding up at the credit union?
You know, I think we're holding up really well. You know, I don't want to downplay that. I do think that people are under new stress levels that are different than before. But the truth is, I see our team really rising up. We've launched, you know, very quickly some new programs to assist employees and members. We have people working, you know, at a fast pace to transition how we do work and serve members, make decisions, come together. But, you know, you see that it's hard around the edges sometimes right now, you know, a lot of extra stress. So we put in, you know, we're trying to find all the ways that we also do support for our employees. So, of course, we have an EAP program, and so they're available to our team virtually. We've worked with a local yoga studio. They have a special login for our employees that they can go in and do, get online yoga sessions for some, you know, we call it wind down wellness for the week, you know. And so in our HR team, we have a communication segment and they send out, you know, stress articles, articles of managing during this time, how to help your kids. So we're trying to provide some resources to help people in new ways because it is also different.
It is for all of us. That's for sure. I love that. You know, a question that I've been thinking a lot about is, you know, this idea that how will this change the way your credit union specifically, but even from that 30,000 blimp, you know, level that credit unions serve their members going forward. Do you think we're going to see a change as now all of our parents even know what Zoom is and everything, right? So,
absolutely. You know, we talk a lot about it at our organization right now. You know, everyone you know, has made comments of like, when do we go back to normal? And, you know, I told him that normal won't be like we were in January and February.
Absolutely.
That experience was for that time, and that going forward, we will be creating new normals. Summer still to be unseen what that looks like, but I do expect, we've always joked about it, we have pretty robust digital service team and digital services for our members, but only a portion of the membership truly engages in that way. And so I had always said, you know, what if just 1% more chooses to interact with us online chat? Well, indeed they are now.
I was going to say, have you seen a big pickup that?
In the month of March, the percent increase from normal volume went up 175% of people chatting, right? And so you are seeing people engage in the digital for the first time. And the call center said they were getting lots of calls of like, I don't really know how to access my account online, despite, you know, they might have had a password and a login at one time. So a lot more interaction with teaching people how to use the digital channels, how to do a direct, you know, a deposit on your phone, how to set up your direct deposit, you know, all of those things really have led to, you know, how do I expect people will continue to engage online. I do expect over time, some people will want the branch interactions because that's, you know, something that's part of their life. For us right now, our branches, we're blessed that we have a lot with drive-ups just because we're in a suburban type of community. And so we're able to serve a lot of our members through drive-ups. The drive-ups have been incredibly busy. I'm very surprised at the number of people. We have a stay-at-home order that's still in place. And, you know, people are still needing access to their finances, which is why we're an essential business. And we're doing appointments in the branches and handling appropriate physical distancing and personal protection equipment and all of those things. I think they'll be in play for a while.
I agree with you.
You know, and I keep explaining it's foreseeable future because I don't know when the end is, right? When the end may come through better treatment for the virus, a vaccine, the threat being so significantly reduced that people are going to be comfortable taking some personal risk. Who knows when that could be? And so we have to continuously modify. We're piloting some video chat programs right now.
Okay.
And so those will be launching out to the membership in June. We had it on our list. We, you know, moved it up forward. And, you know, so some of that's what's happening to try to help members, you know, in the long run.
You know, last question in this first section, if we were to sit down a year from now, and I know this is kind of almost silly to think because it seems like things change by the day or the week at this point, but what would you be most proud of that you and your team at MSUFCU have accomplished if you broke out the crystal ball?
Sure. You know, I think it's going to be very similar to what I would say on any given day or any given, you know, unique situation is what I'm seeing now, I expect to keep seeing is that our team came together really strong, really quickly. They live our mission for help with the members, for help to each other. They are exhibiting all the core values that we identified in them when they were hired. You see people really coming together. And, you know, I think sometimes in situations like this, you can see the best in everyone because they really are shining at this time. And so to me, I'm really proud of, you know, not only the service that we've maintained our service levels, but all the new initiatives that have happened and people have taken real ownership of, I think has been an incredible positive experience.
Yeah, that's to be something to watch. I know we've the same thing here at CU Insight is like we just keep trying new things because you're like, things are different. We're not going to conferences. Yeah. We're not doing all this other stuff. So, so in some ways, it's been kind of fun. Now, I'd love to get out of the house and see people in real life again.
Right.
But hey, you know what? I'm going to do my part and stay home. To move on to the second part of the show, the leadership and life hacks, I was really looking forward to this. And I hope I'm not wrong on this one, but you were already with the credit union before you became CEO. So you were an internal candidate, sure. Right? I absolutely love that. What inspired you in 2015 to go for and take the gig as the president and CEO?
Anyone who knows me knows this about me. So, you know, it sounds terrible maybe when you say it out loud to others. Like, this was not my dream job. I did not, you know, start my career. I've actually been with our organization since 1996.
Okay.
And I did not ever, you know, intend to want to be the CEO. You know, we hire some new folks now and they in orientation ask me, well, how do I get your job in like about 5 years? You know, I'm like, oh, that never was on my mind. and so part of what inspired me, I would say, was a few things. First, my predecessor was an incredible leader, not only of our organization, but well respected in the industry. And several other members of our executive team are CEOs at other institutions due to his leadership and development and mentorship. So we've had a great opportunity to be prepared to take these roles either within or in other organizations. So seeing the care and concern for the organization, you know, and we had a succession plan and how that unfolded. To me, the things that helped me get comfortable thinking I could do this or I wanted to do this really was, I believe so much in the culture and the values of our organization that it was hard to wrap my head around maybe somebody else coming in and wanting to change those. And would it be the place that I truly loved for so many years? And would we all want to keep working there? And possibly that could have worked out. But, you know, the unknown of that certainly was a motivating factor. The team that I know I'm working with now was the team, for the most part, that was, you know, my peers on the executive team. And again, having their support and knowing what they're capable of and how well our team worked together, I think made that an easy transition for me. You know, so I love what we do. I love who we serve. I love our universities. I couldn't picture myself doing anything else. I kept thinking, well, if I don't do this, then what are the other options?
What are you gonna do?
And I, right. And, you know, and so I don't know that I could do this anyplace else, but I certainly know that we have a great organization. I have a great board. Board was very supportive. You know, so for us, it was a good transition. And it wasn't, as my boss told me, you know, there were days that were hard when you're learning. And I, one day I was like, I just don't know. I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I can do this. Some days are really hard. And he just looked at me and he said, it's really not about you. It's about the place, you know, and that's when it really hit me. It was like, oh, yeah, I want to do this because I really want this place to be amazing. So
early on in the podcast, there was a, I think it was Chuck Fagan who said something when he was on the first time that really struck me, but it was kind of that idea that sometimes at the CEO level, it can be lonely at the top, right? You know, so that being said, how has the inspiration changed since you've taken over as CEO, or has it?
The same inspiration for our organization is still there. I think I feel even more responsibility, if that makes sense. You know, if people who know me well will be able to articulate this for me better, most likely, but I have a real personal care and concern for everyone's well-being. And so my predecessor always told me, he's like, that's going to eat you up over time because you can't invest this much of yourself into each person in the organization, each member, each community organization, because you have to be able to distance a little bit. And I still haven't found that space because I really do take everyone's concerns if we're not doing something to meet their needs to heart. And I want everyone to have absolutely the best experience coming to work at our organization. And so I spend a lot of personal time evaluating how can we constantly improve and do better for everyone. And I recognize that's the hard part for me, is recognizing we may not catch everyone, right? Like everyone may not be interested in what we're trying to achieve. And so, but the inspiration is still the same. It's still the organization's success, the things that we do with our community and our partners and the universities. To me, just, you can't find a better way to do work than what we're doing. And, you know, the credit union space is so incredible.
Absolutely.
Not only for us, but like all the people I work with and all the other institutions, you know, we're having, so there's a group of CEOs who serve universities like we do that connect, you know, we're having a call later today about, you know, what are we all going to do and serve our university communities? You know, you just don't find that collaboration in other places. And so, you know, there's just, I don't know, the inspiration to keep doing well in the job, there's no end to where it comes from.
Absolutely. Is there, this is one of my favorite questions, and it sounds like you work very closely with your team. Is there something that they have heard you say so many times they can finish your sentence?
Oh, for sure. Actually, we do orientation with all new hires. I'm generally the last person to speak with them after they've gone through like all about the credit union and the culture, and the rest of the executive team comes in. And I said, I bet you already know what I'm going to say to you, but, and they always tell me, so it is that every day is a job interview. And I talk about it in the context of, for sure, your career at the credit union. You know, I'm in the role I'm in because of how I handled myself for the 20 years prior to getting this job, and my work product stood out, my engagement with others was positive, and saying that how each time you interact with someone is really creating that impression that they have of you, and is it always going to be a good one, is really important. But then I also say it's the same thing for the member. Every interaction we have with the member is our job interview if they're going to keep doing business with us.
That's great.
And so it makes a real difference, and we promote from within a lot, obviously. And, you know, I tell everybody, look at the person to the right or the left. Someday that could be your boss. And so do they want to hire you based on how you treated them in your first week of knowing them? Do you want to work for them and based upon how they might have treated you this first week, yeah, right? People don't forget those things. And so trying to help people think about each interaction is meaningful in your life, and you should live it to the fullest.
Is there a, let's say, a myth about leadership that you would like to debunk?
Oh, there's so many. You know, I feel that people think because you have this job title, you know absolutely everything about everything. And that is, you know, not true. I mean, the situation we're going through right now is a great example, right? Like, yes, we had a pandemic document that we plan and practice in a round table, but it's not the same as doing it. You know, and so I think people thought like you didn't do X, Y, or Z and you must not have been prepared. And, you know, and so in my world, that's a whole challenge of like people just think you know everything. Yeah. Or that you're not maybe as much of a regular person as they are, right? You know, and so I try to tell everybody, like, I have parents, you know, I have a spouse, yeah. I have a pet, and, you know, I have to get up and take a shower and get ready and do all the things that you do as well. And I think that people just put you in this box of like, you know, that isn't maybe, I don't know how to describe it, but they think that you just live in this altered reality right. from them.
Yep. Nope, that's for sure. When you think back to earlier in your career, is there a mistake that you made, or maybe one that you see, you've worked now with, you know, you talked about bringing people up from within the organization, that you see young leaders make often?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I certainly was victim of this for myself, and I see people still doing it. People want to rush through every, you know, step of leadership and in the organization. And I think that you still see that, right? Like, oh, I've been a manager for, you know, a year. I must be the vice president next, you know, and I'm sure I've figured it all out, right? Like we don't give ourselves enough space to continuously learn and be patient with ourselves and really build upon that learning. And I see that too, you know, in myself, like, you know, recognizing there is one thing to have a skill. There's another to have experience to go with the skill, and experience isn't just the first time, you know, it's right. many times and different variations. So I see that. I tell our team, be patient with yourself, be patient with your journey. I think people are afraid also to maybe do a zig and a zag. They only want to keep going on this, you know, trajectory up, and sometimes changing direction, learning something new, either the same level or a level below, actually helps you get moving up faster. And people don't want to take that step because they don't see it on the, like, it's in the, you know, the next ring up.
Absolutely.
And we talk a lot about pivoting.
Yeah. Which comes in handy today. Always, right?
For sure.
Has there been a piece of advice or a life lesson that you receive that you find yourself going back to over and over during your career?
Yeah, this sounds, you know, everyone knows themselves. I'm not necessarily a very patient person. And so, and sometimes I have a quick emotional reaction. And so I was given the advice actually by my predecessor when I was in the transition training process of, will that, whatever topic it is, right, that maybe caused you a moment of frustration or anxiety, will you still be focused on that in 2 weeks from now?
Yep.
Will that still be the most number one thing on your list in 2 weeks? If so, then you should give all that emotional energy to it. But if it won't be, then you need to find a way to process it and keep moving, and right? Don't get bogged down in that. And, you know, and what I do today is, you know, on any given day, if you look back and go 2 weeks ago, what were the conversations I had? What was the annoyances? What were the things that I was really worried we weren't doing well? And if you actually could enumerate them, then you know, then that's real. But most of the time we can't. So I always keep that in the back of my head going, there'll be a new thing to replace this tomorrow.
That's absolutely it. Yeah. I think earlier in the season, actually, Rachel Prost said something similar where she was like, I started looking at stuff like, will I remember that 1 year from now? Because if I won't, or will the board remember that packet 1 year from now? Or will whatever it is, right? Like, and I was like, it's the 2 weeks, I'm right with you. So, you know, one of the things I noticed in the first season of the podcast was how often mentors came up. I feel like you had a great one right in the credit union that you've mentioned multiple times.
Yeah.
How has a mentoring relationship helped you, I guess, in your career? And is that something then that, let's say, now that you are in the corner office, let's just call it, or the, you know, the CEO seat, how are you passing that on, I guess, to others?
Sure. And even in this seat, I still have a network of people I reach out to and say, you know, walk me through this, or I need to have this conversation. Can I practice with you? And, you know, and those are a variety of folks that I've encountered over my life and my career that are in the industry, outside the industry.
And just going to ask you that, both inside now, right?
Yep. You know, I've had a great opportunity because we serve universities, right, to meet a lot of leaders at the university who have scope and size positions that are, you know, pretty significant, and ask people, you know, and who lead leaders, you know, and so you can, you know, that's different to lead leaders. And I think so having an ability to talk to someone who has led others sometimes is worth trying. But certainly my goal is we have a formalized process at the organization, at the credit union, to do mentorship for new managers and new leaders. And so we have that. I always have a student from either MSU or OU that we work on mentoring. I think it's really important. It was interesting. Last year, I had a MSU student who was from Columbia, and, you know, I had an international student mentor, and it was very, not only for me to help her with what she's encountering in the US and how it's different, but I learned so much from her and what her life was like, and could see this young lady who, you know, came to a whole new country without her family. And, you know, so there's something I think I always learn, even if I'm the mentor and then, you know, per se.
That's pretty cool. That's for sure. You mentioned earlier, like, I think in the transition to becoming CEO, you know, going, can I do this? Or, you know, and a question that I added this year was this idea of like a point in the career where you just kind of had some self-doubt, right? Like, you know, am I doing the right thing? Most of us have come across that. The question I have to you is, do you have any hacks or anything that you did to kind of like when that doubt seeps in, is there anything you do to kind of bust through it?
You know, actually, I think for me, being a good leader for myself, it doesn't maybe translate to everyone, is that I want to have that self-doubt. I still want to have it, because I don't think you master being a leader. I think it's a constant learning and evaluation of your abilities to reach others and communicate. And so I have a lot of self-doubt on a regular basis. I think any major decision you make, you always think, well, what are the other ways that could go? And did I pick the right one? And you never know, because you never picked the other one. So how will you ever figure that out? I try to give myself like a 24-hour, like, you know, moment, and then move past it. I mean, because you can't keep dwelling. Otherwise, you become really paralyzed, and then you're a very ineffective leader. So, I mean, we are still people, and people have those moments. And I think you have to give yourself some space to be a person, you know, but I try to put a 24-hour timeline on it and then move forward.
Something that I was thinking about when you said that was often like as the leader, you have to make kind of that difficult decision that buck kind of stops with you. Was that something you've always been comfortable doing, or is that something that you've had to kind of develop as you grew as a leader?
I think that's happened over time. I've been very good at being a quote unquote decision maker, right? You ask something, if I was, I came up through the marketing channel and our online services. And, if you asked me something about things I created or had a lot of background on, I was like, yep, this is the best way. Let's do this and move on. And so I had a lot of ability to make decisions because you had that knowledge and experience. But I think when I got this job, I realized, there was still somebody that was responsible for me afterwards. even if I thought I was making a really good decision, somebody else was still accountable. I communicated or, shared my decision. But then there became that very obvious moment where you're like, I'm now responsible for all these people's decisions and myself. And so you do, I feel like when you have a level of insulation, the decision making is a little easier to digest.
you're not the first person to mention that. That's I completely agree. Right. Before we move on to the last part of the show, if you have a free day, there's nothing on the calendar. I'm sure that doesn't happen often. What passions do you have outside of credit unions? What does April do to recharge? What does that work life integration look like to you?
Sure, I think it generally would start with in the world where we don't have to physically distance. I would say it would start by going to the coffee shop in the morning and having time to sit with coffee and read. I'm a huge reader of all kinds of material. And so maybe reading something that, isn't related to the organization or the industry, but, can vary. It can be, a business book, or it could be a fiction, or it could be a biography, but I like to read. I love to be outside, so take a walk or run, and then spend some time with, my best friend, my mom, things like that. So my niece, those are the people that, when I get free time, I gravitate towards making sure they're part of my day. But generally it involves I have a friend who we were on a trip and her husband, they hadn't been married very long. And so he had known me real well. And we were on a group trip. And, the first thing I did was get up and go for like a 5-mile walk, run, and then go grab coffee and sit down. And he was like, "We're on vacation. Why is she working out?" My friend was like, "Because she doesn't always get that."
trust me. When we travel, my favorite part is wherever we are, grabbing coffee and my journal and just sitting and staring at the ocean or a mountain or wherever I am, but just not having a time schedule is a beautiful thing. So last part of the show, I want to be respectful of your time. These are the rapid fire questions. The questions are rapid, but your answers do not have to be. so the question, what were you like in high school? You mentioned earlier that you didn't really, credit unions wasn't that the goal career, right? Like when you first set out. So I think that's true for most of us. But, what were you like in high school? What did you want to be when you grew up?
Let's see. In high school, I was a total nerd. I was that kid that was introverted and did the smart classes for college prep. So I was a baton twirler in the band, which seems to be a unique thing in high school. So
there you go.
I wanted to be an attorney.
Okay.
So actually, our chief legal counsel in the office tells me all I lack is my license. I know I spent a lot of time studying and working in law firms, but chose not to finish that off. So
when Todd Clark was on the podcast recently from Co-op, you mentioned that he wanted to be an attorney, and now every time he sees their counsel, he's like, "I'm so glad I'm not." So
that's funny because I actually think
the reverse. You kind of sound like you're like, "Oh, I wish I would have." So not that
especially
this was a
given all the contracts we have and everything, was like that would have really been helpful
to get the law degree. Do you have any daily routines that if you don't do, your day just feels off?
I get a Starbucks every morning. I think I need that to keep it going. I have a friend who tells me I'm a little bit OCD, which is probably true. So meaning at the end of the day, if I was going to go meet her, she calls and says, here's your half hour so you can like align all the documents and all the things on your desk, and you can pack exactly what you want in the folders in your bag to take home. So I have this like very defined routine of like everything gets in its place and organized so I can, you know, leave in peace. So probably some of that happens every day. I'm finding it translating to my home office now too.
I understand that completely. I share that actually. So the random question, what's the best album of all time? That one you can listen to without skipping a song.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. I love music. So I actually have a vinyl, literal record player, and I have vinyl. So I think it would have to be U2, The Joshua Tree.
That's a good one. That's for sure. So I'm a reader. You mentioned that you're a big reader also. So I got really excited to ask you this question once I heard that. Jill and I have a stack of books in our house that have been recommended to us, and it keeps growing from guests on the show who recommend stuff. So is there a book that either you've gifted others or you just think everybody should read?
Oh, wow. One book, if you know.
It can be a couple.
I know. So I do gift The Giving Tree.
Okay.
I feel that, you know, that kind of goes to like give of yourself as much as possible to everyone, kind of how I believe about life. So it's one of my favorite books to give. But books for like adult grown-up reading, a couple that I really think are good. Like, so from a fiction, my favorite book is called Bel Canto, and it's B-E-L-C-A-N-T-O. It's written by Ann Patchett. Ann Patchett just won the Pulitzer Prize for her recent book called The Dutch House. So I've had a chance to hear her speak and visit her bookstore in Nashville. So,
very cool.
And then, you know, from a business perspective, one of my, you know, books that there's two that really resonated with me. One is called The Trillion Dollar Coach.
Okay.
And so that's been really good. It's written by some folks you would know, you know, that maybe run Google.
Yeah.
You know, they had a coach, you know, who was a former CEO of Intuit, and, you know, just how he coached people by giving of himself. So I thought that was, it aligned with our values and how we operate in our organization. And then I read a long time ago, Howard Schultz's book called Onward, about Starbucks, you know, during their transition time and how to get back in track. And so I think that's a good read for, you know, as you think about, you know, what do you want your business to be and how much you're going to invest in getting it to where you want it to be if it falls. And I think that's a good one for business. So
I'm so glad you brought up that Billion Dollar Coach book, because I actually listened to a podcast maybe a year or two ago, and they were talking about that guy and they were mentioning the book.
Yeah.
And I could completely forgot what podcast it was. But now when you were talking, I'm like, oh, I remember that. So now I can actually look it up and go get it.
So because we're doing this, you can see my bookcases here and the piles next to my bed and stuff. So I'm going to pull down so you can see. Here's the trillion dollar coach.
Right, that's there he is. Bill Campbell. That's the one. Yep.
It's a great book.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's funny. I read an article maybe 2-3 months ago that they said that having books, even books that you haven't read yet in your house, actually help make you smarter because you think of all the possibilities that you still have to learn. And I showed the article to Jill. I was just like, see, this is why I keep buying books. I can't go through them yet, just stack them up. So
I have stacks everywhere. And, you know, during this time, I want to make sure my local bookstores, you know, stay in business. Right. So I found myself ordering like books that I know I don't have time to read, you right know, now. Like every week, just so like they're still around when I do want to go browse books.
Yeah, want to go take the coffee and go walk around, right?
Yeah.
The bookstores again. As you've gotten older, what's become more important to you? And my favorite part of this question, what's become less important?
Oh, goodness. As I've gotten older, what's become more important to me? I think, you know, definitely the time with my family is very important. Spending time with my mom and my niece and just, you know, appreciating your family probably doesn't happen till you recognize, you know, why they're good for you. Not that I always, you know, haven't. My mom and I have been close my whole life, but definitely wanting to make sure I spend the time with her that I can as we get older. I think everyone you know, recognizes that we're all not going to be here. So what do I focus on less? Let me, you know, that's a good question. I'm trying to think about that. I think I focus less on worrying about what everyone expects you to be. And that maybe just be yourself is easier to do the wiser you get. For sure.
That's a beautiful thing that seems to only come with age for all of us.
I know.
So it'd be so nice if we would have known that in our 20s or something. But
no, and even if somebody had told me, I'm not sure we would listen, because I think I try to tell people, you know, and I think I've become a lot more comfortable being able to go places and do things by myself, right? If nobody wants to go with you, you just still go. But when you were younger, it was like, oh, well, then I guess I won't go because it's not cool or nobody wants to be a part of it. Or people are going to look at me and go, she's all by herself at the movie. You know, you don't have that anymore.
I am with you. I've started probably 5 or 6 years ago, even taking at least one trip by myself. So, and I just put my earbuds in, I walk around a foreign country and just, I still do it. I absolutely, it refreshes me. I mean, I absolutely love to do it, even though my partner loves to travel too. We take lots of trips together.
Right?
Well, we used to, but,
we will again.
I know. Delta keeps calling. They're ready for us.
Yes. Delta is reminding me regularly.
there's a question that I didn't send you. When you hear the word success, who is the first person that comes to mind?
Oh, wow. You know, the first visual I had was Oprah Winfrey.
How come?
You know, that's a good question. I think, you know, she has redefined herself in so many ways, has so many different business ventures, I think has overcome a lot of adversity. And certainly as a female, as a, you know, and as a woman of color, for her to be successful, I can only imagine the challenges along the way. You know, so that's for sure someone that I think of that was the first person that popped in. So I guess that was the question.
That is perfect. That's absolutely, I love that answer. Thank you again, April, for being on the show and sharing your story. The last question that I have for you is, do you have any final asks of our listeners today or final thoughts you'd like to share?
You know, I guess what I tend to always talk about in the industry in general is, you know, use your resources, share with each other, reach out. And the one thing, because we are a larger credit union, don't think just because a credit union's large that they don't want to talk to you or they can't help you or they won't help you. I tell that to people all the time. I get a lot of, oh, you're big, you won't understand. You know, we weren't always big. And I worked at our organization when we were small. And so don't be afraid to talk to just about anyone and everyone, because we will all help each other. And that's probably the best thing you can get out of this industry.
Oh, it is a beautiful part of this industry. It was the reason that I started the podcast, you know, a couple of years back now, was because I was so lucky to go out to all the conferences and talk to all these people. And I'm like, they're so smart. I'd like to share that. So, and then I get to ask the questions that help me. So it's just scratching my own itch, but we will link to everything we talked about in the show notes. Is there a best way for people to reach you if they have additional questions? LinkedIn, the Twitter machine, email, what's your poison?
My preference is email. So my email is just my name, April, and spelled as you would in the calendar month @Clovis, and that is CLOB as in boy, ES as in Sam, at MSU, F as in Frank, so FCU.org. So MSUFCU.org. So April.Clovis@MSUFCU.org.
Well, thank you again, April. I appreciate it. Please stay healthy, and I hope you have an amazing day.
You too, and thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you. Appreciated it.
Before we go, I just want to take a minute to say thank you to all of you, our listeners, for listening and allowing us to do what we do. We so greatly appreciate it. And once again, thank April for taking the time out of her crazy busy schedule that it seems like we all have at this current time to make time to be on the podcast and have this conversation with me. It was a blast. And a big thank you to our sponsor, PSCU. Our friends at PSCU have been a longtime partner of us and supporter of CU Insight. And so if you could, for us, make sure you click on their links in the show notes and give them some love. See everything they have going on to help the credit union community. Also, we are on all the podcast players out there, Apple, Spotify, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We would appreciate if you would subscribe and leave us a 5-star and rating, maybe even a review on the old Apple Podcast machine. It really does help us with the visibility of the show so we can keep sharing all this credit union love. If you don't think we're worth the 5 stars, forget I asked. You can reach out to me directly and let me know where we can improve. And don't forget the CU Insight Experience podcast book list. Need some stimulation for the mind during this social distancing? We've got you covered. Get your next book recommendation from the guests on our show. April added a few to that list for sure, a couple that I will be ordering myself. So thank you all again for listening. I hope you have an amazing day, and please stay healthy, friends.